is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25, and then 57 to 66. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him.
There's a question that I've been thinking about all week from this passage. How can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? How can I know that this is true? There's no more important question facing us as we approach Christmas. On the Christmas cards, we have peace and joy. We have comfort, the presence. These are all the things that we associate with a Christmas. But how can we be sure of this? How can we know that it is true? I think that's a question that's relevant to all of us here this morning and watching on live stream. Whether you have a little bit of faith or you have a lot of faith? Because the person who asked this question was a professional in the art of praying. He was the person we would least expect to say, "How can I be sure of this?" Perhaps someone here this morning might be saying, "Help, I'm losing my faith. I don't believe it anymore." If that's you this morning, come and talk to me. What often happens is people just drift away. They don't talk to anyone. They're having a crisis of faith. Do you still believe in Christmas? Do you believe in Christ, who is the one who gives the peace and the joy and the comfort? Because if there's no Christ in your Christmas, you have none of these things. You have a bit of tinsel, a nice meal, and an anticlimax. But if you have Christ, you have everything. You have eternal life. So as we look at this story, there's three things that help us to answer this question. The promise of God, the power of God, and the mercy of God. This is not only a story that's in the Bible to tell us great and wonderful things about the coming of Jesus. Primarily, that's why it's there. It's also there to tell us that God is very personal, that God knows everything about us. And when this man is in the temple, he's having the most special day of his life. Once in his whole lifetime did this priest have the opportunity to stand in this special place in the temple. And if you come back this evening, Angus will tell you more about how the temple was laid out and why it was laid out. But this place, the altar of incense, was where he prayed for the people. They were gathered outside, praying for the nation, praying for the coming of the Messiah. And he was in the temple, praying for Israel, praying for the coming of the Messiah. And when the angel appeared to him, the angel did not say, "I've heard your prayers," plural. He said, "I've heard your prayer," singular. What was he praying about? He was praying about something intensely personal, about the fact that his wife could not have a baby. And had he stopped praying about this because he's now an old man and she's an old woman? We don't know. Maybe they stopped praying years ago when biologically it was no longer possible. But although they may have forgotten the prayer, God did not forget the prayer that they prayed years ago. And that the prayer was answered as soon as it was prayed. But it was years later that they saw the fulfillment. And that's the same for us, that the moment we pray to God, he gives a decision. Yes, no, or wait. But we don't see the results for years. But you have prayed prayers for your family. And you may be tempted to think that God has not heard your prayer. But the angel comes to Zechariah and says, I have heard your prayer. And that makes me cry this morning, that we have a God like that. That's not only interested in the big things, but he's interested in the little things. And you who may have been working for the Lord for years, praying for this church, praying for God's work in Inverness, putting all the hours in, and God may have answered many of your prayers for this church, but God has still heard your personal prayers, and he has not forgotten. And he is involved in working out the answer. Now, Zechariah responded to the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" And we know that compared to Mary's response to the same angel, Mary, who said, "May your word to me be fulfilled," that the 13-year-old girl seems to have more faith than the old priest. But let's not be too hard on the old priest. Shall we agree that this morning? Can you see yourself in the old priest? There's mercy for the old priest. There's mercy for me. There's mercy for you. This is a story all about mercy. Because God is faithful. God is powerful. God is merciful. And he hears. And he answers. But the promise of God's word is where we need to put our trust in. The word of God. Great things have been said throughout the whole of the history of Israel. There was the promise to David that you will have an eternal kingdom. There was the promise through Isaiah that the glory of the Lord will be revealed and a servant will be sent to die for the people, that their sins may be forgiven and they may be reconciled to God. But before this servant comes, a forerunner will be sent. He will go before the Lord. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And then in Malachi, it says that the Lord will come to his temple. And before the Lord comes, someone like Elijah will come and he will bring reconciliation to God and reconciliation within families. How wonderful that promise is, that he will turn the children to their parents and the parents to their children. And the angel is saying, I'm not only answering your personal prayer, I'm answering and fulfilling the hopes of all Israel. In one sentence, he's saying the personal and the public is answered in your family. How can I be sure of this? Because God's word said it would happen. Secondly, the power of God. The power of God. He said, the angel said that the Holy Spirit will fill your son from his birth. And what we see in the Christmas story is there is a huge increase in the activity of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be seeing nativity plays over the next few weeks. I think that there's a bit of artistic license these days. I believe Whoops-a-Daisy Angel is the main character. But the main character is of course Jesus, but there's also the Holy Spirit. Read Luke's Gospel and see the activity of the Spirit. And what is happening here is supernatural transformation miracles, because God is involved. Do you believe in miracles? Take a scrapyard. Take a Boeing 747. Do you believe it can go from that to that? I'm reading Bill Bryson's book, The Body, at the moment, and mainly to keep up with the family. Did you not study biology, Alistair? Is the frequent comment. But this book is amazing about how intricate and complex the human body is. And did it just come from randomness to incredible design? Do you believe in miracles? Apparently, Zechariah doesn't. And it seems harsh that he was struck dumb for 9 months. But if I stop believing in miracles, please sack me. Because you cannot be a witness for God and not believe in miracles. It's merciful that he wasn't able to speak. How can he lead people in the things of God when he doesn't believe in miracles? The power of God. He's saying, give me more proof. What more proof do you need? You've got all the prophecies. You've got an angel standing in front of you. You've got a personal answer to your prayer. Can I just ask you this morning, what more do you need to believe in Jesus? What are you waiting for? Have you seen enough in God's word to believe? Or are you waiting for some kind of sign? Jews asked for signs. Greeks asked for wisdom, but God gave us Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross. Jesus said, I'm only going to give you the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and rose again. The sign we have is there in history, the death and resurrection of Jesus. What more do you need? If you struggle with the virgin birth, you will struggle with the resurrection. So get used to miracles, because the whole gospel, the whole Christian faith is built on miracles. And if you don't believe in the supernatural, if you don't believe in the God's powerful intervention in the natural causes of life, then you've not got faith. You've got a desire for certainty, so you don't have to take a step of faith. Don't say to me this morning, I can't believe because I haven't got 100% evidence. That's not belief. That's unbelief. That's like saying, do it all for me so I don't have to take a step of faith. God in his wisdom has asked us to trust in his word. From the beginning of time to the present day, we stand or fall by our ability to trust in the word of God. How did I become a Christian? Because somebody read a Bible verse to me. And after sitting on the fence for so many years, I believed. The person said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess it with your mouth, you are saved. And in the hearing of that word, I believed that I was a Christian on the spot. Not because there was a sign, not because there was a spectacular event, but because God's word was true. And that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. And I believed it and I confessed it with my mouth. And I know I will live forever in the presence of God. What about you? Jesus wants you to know for sure this morning. I write these things to you so that you may be sure and that you may have eternal life. You can know for sure through faith. Through faith. You say, oh, my faith is so small. My faith is so flickering. That's what faith is. Faith is a window through which we see the greatness of God. Don't focus on your faith. Focus on the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God, the majesty of God, the power of God, the mercy of God. Focus on Him. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your faith. We can have a small faith and a great God. Did Zechariah remember Abraham and Sarah? They did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And it was credited to Abraham as righteousness. He was made complete through his faith in the power of God. And we too, who believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised from the dead on the third day, we too are made complete through trusting in his word, in his power. At the end of Luke's gospel, it says that we can have burning hearts, hearts that burn when we hear the word of God. How's your heart this morning? Is it burning or is it bored? Lord, have mercy on you if you're bored this morning. Because it's about the most important thing you will ever hear. That Jesus said, did you not know that all the prophets, all the Old Testament said that I must suffer and die and on the third day be raised again and then enter my glory? And these disciples said, weren't our hearts burning within us when we heard that word? That he's alive. He's done the impossible. He's come back from the dead. Alistair, I thought this was a Christmas sermon. This sounds more like Easter. But you know, you don't separate Christmas and Easter. It's like one event. Jesus came as a man to die for all men and women. The miracle of Christmas and the miracle of Easter, it's all there. But I want to finish on the mercy of God. Because as I was praying about this, realizing that Zechariah is just like us, isn't he? Let's not be too hard on Zechariah. Isn't faith sometimes derailed by our emotions? We do believe the Bible is true. We do believe, but some days emotions take over, don't they? We get scared. We believe that the anesthetist is doing us good, but we still panic when the mask goes on our face. So let's not be too hard on Zechariah. In fact, let's be a church that welcomes the doubter. It says in Jude, be merciful to those who doubt. We're commanded to be merciful to those who doubt, to those who hesitate, because God is merciful to those who doubt. If you're doubting this morning, come and talk to me, because I'd love to help you. Because all of us hesitate. I was the chief hesitator for 10 years before I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth. And I want you to be sure. God has mercy on you. Look at the story. Look at how it finishes. Look at how Zechariah, at the end of the chapter, he bursts forth in praise. He says, the tender mercy of our God, by the tender mercy of God, the dawn from on high will come upon us, will shine upon us, shine on those living in darkness and death, and guide our feet in the way of peace. The doubter became a great ambassador. It's wonderful, isn't it? And that can be your story too. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you came and reversed all the effects of the fall. We thank you that you came and took charge once again of this world. And through Jesus Christ, you have turned the tide. Lord, it is hard to be a Christian today. We ask for your help not to give up. Thank you that you have not forgotten our prayers. We renew our trust in you today, and we receive your mercy and grace. We cannot do this without your help. So come, Holy Spirit, and give us that which you command. You call us to faith. Give us that which you command. And as we come to you today, Lord, thank you that you do not turn anyone away. In Jesus' name, amen.